WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen. There's a river I wanna swim in. There's a river I wanna live in. It's the river of anointing. It's the
is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are excited to be here with you again today. As always, always look forward to this show week after week. And with me in the studio today is my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, who we lovingly call PJ. Happy Father's Day to you, PJ, today.
Thank you, thank you.
Yes, and you're a grandpa too, aren't you?
Yes, I am. So yeah. Big shout out to my daughter, Stacy.
Yeah.
And my grandbaby, Grace Elizabeth.
Grace Elizabeth, that's right. She's what, three now or four?
She's three and a half almost.
Whoa, okay, all right.
I know, does that make me feel... I don't feel old. It is the age of my daughter and my granddaughter that makes me feel old.
That way. That's right. I tell you, I have my granddaughter and her husband and two babies who are twins that just moved here from Indiana on Friday. And I have a house full, Pastor Jim. I'll tell you what. And there's nothing like having twin great-granddaughters who are not even three yet. That is an amazing event, let me tell you.
With all the guests that you've had in the last few weeks,
yes,
I think you should rename your place the Radisson.
There you go. The McAllister Hostel or Hotel or
the
something.
The McAllister Hotel in Palm Harbor.
That's right. And, you know, it's great, though. I wouldn't have it any other way. And just a blessing, and to have our families, all of us. And on Mother's Day and Father's Day, it's just 2 days a year that we really celebrate the family unit. And I love it. I don't know about you, Pastor Jim, but it's a good time to just acknowledge and be happy and blessed that we have the children, grandchildren, and in my case, great-grandchildren that we do, right?
Ooh-wee.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, so it's been a lot of fun. So it's a special day.
I think that deserves a bell ring.
It does. It does. It does. There's nothing like it. And I, you know, raising three kids, I had three kids in 4 years. I know you just had the one, but I tell you what, when you have them that close together, you think, you know, twins, no big deal. Let me tell you, twins are
a big deal.
They really are. And it's been a lot of fun. Anyway, with that said, we are so blessed to be able to be on the air today, as always, and just to celebrate the presence of the Lord in our lives. It's just wonderful. And we're just a week past the terrible, awful, horrendous, horrific massacre in Orlando. And I know we'll probably bring that up in a way, but last Sunday, you and I did this show, as some of our radio team members have been pretty busy the last few weeks, and we'll get back on our normal schedule probably next week. But Pastor Jim, I think that if our listeners missed that show, it would be a good one for them to go back on the podcast here and listen to.
Yes, I agree. I think that it was a really good show. It was probably the most impromptu show you and I have ever done.
Absolutely. Yes.
But yeah, we addressed a lot of issues like hate,
yes,
and fear. You know, those are things that needed to be addressed, and sorrow.
Absolutely. And with that said, on our Thursday night show that we have, that Beacon of Hope has, which is Go Yard, which means hit a home run in life, with Dr. Angel Falzoni and me, we addressed, the whole show was devoted to this massacre and talking not just about the horrific events, but the horrific events since the horrific event, which is some of the attitudes of so-called Christians who have so come out in, I guess, hateful remarks. I don't know if there's a stronger word than hateful. Pastors across this nation, some that have gotten on YouTube and other places and done clips of how everybody there deserved to die because of their lifestyle. Some of the horrendous things that have come out this week have been very distressing to me, and I know to you too.
Yeah, very distressing. And at one point, I'd see like the heading of an article, somebody would post it on Facebook, and I would just ignore it.
Right.
Although I do want to give a shout out to, I have an app on my phone for a certain charismatic magazine and their news feeds.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Charisma Magazine. I'll just say
right.
That. Anyway, I was concerned they would be in that boat of hate.
Right.
And they weren't.
Right. Good.
They came out against the pastor that made those horrible, horrible comments. Basically, told him he was dead wrong. And they didn't. Obviously, I know where that particular magazine and faith group stands on the issue of being gay, but it was a very measured and loving response.
Oh, that's good.
And
that's good.
I was, yeah, I just wanted to say, I mean, because I know everybody thinks, oh, that's just Christian bigotry, blah, blah, blah. Well, here was, to me, what was a shining example from a place I never expected to see it.
Right.
Quite honestly. And I was really, I even shared one of them on Facebook. I was really quite surprised. And I was very, very glad.
And it was more of a loving response, wasn't it?
Yes.
And more of a, which we all should be, regardless of whether or not we agree with somebody's beliefs or system or their lifestyle or anything. You know, love should trump all that. And Jesus continually talked about that when he walked this earth.
Yeah. I mean, and he disagreed with so many things and
yes,
so many people.
Sure.
But he was never bigoted toward them.
Right.
He was wrathful a couple of times. He turned over those tables in the
sure.
temple.
Right.
And he got angry, but he was never bigoted or mean-spirited.
Right.
I mean, that's the point I want to make. There's a difference between me disagreeing with somebody on what they believe.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
You know, if you'd been around in my younger years, you would have seen me in action debating fine points of theology.
Right.
And there's a difference between that and just name calling and being thankful.
Sure.
You know, why not just say then, well, okay, I'm so glad all the Hindus are dying and go to hell, or I'm so glad all the Muslims are dying and going to hell. Well, that's the same sort of thing.
Yes.
And
yes.
Nobody would ever say that.
Right.
And yet this one particular group, the LGBT community, gets that sort of treatment.
Oh, absolutely, all the time.
And even in the wake of this, the tragedy in Orlando, you
right.
know, everybody else is pulling together, but there's always got to be two or three that got to be idiots.
That's right.
You know.
And it is distressing. And so we, you know, today as we do this show, it's a cry out also to people out there to remember that God is love and that his whole mission and his whole purpose for this world was to show us God's true nature. And over again, he said, I came to do the will of my Father.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to show us the Father, it says in Hebrews. And he did that. And over again, Jesus gave example after example about God the Father's nature. And of course, Jesus' nature also, and that of the Holy Spirit, is love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hatred and it's not condemnation. In fact, you know, Romans 8:1, we quote that a lot on this show. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, you know? And the condemnation and that piling on of guilt and all of that kind of thing does not come from God. That's not the attitude of God, nor the nature of God.
Right. And as I once said to a person a long time ago, I think it was at a Pride parade.
Right.
Who disagreed, but we were able to disagree agreeably.
Sure.
And I said, you know what? Let's just get them saved.
Right.
Because that's the important thing.
Yes.
You want to do, you know, you want to do good for the gay and lesbian community, the Muslim community, the Hindu community, the Jewish community, whoever community.
Right.
Pray for them.
Pray for them.
Pray for them.
Absolutely.
Pray for them to come to know Jesus.
Absolutely.
That's the important thing.
That's it. It's all about a relationship with Jesus.
Right. And as I said, God will do the work. God will do the rest of it. He'll do what he needs to do.
Right.
Our job is to get them to Jesus.
Absolutely. And so, you know, that's an important statement today as we begin this show. We've been in a series called Right at the Fork for a few weeks now, and I'm sure we're going to get off of this subject soon. However, we haven't even dealt with the whole heaven component that we want to deal with, you and I, as we're teaching this. But today is very important, this show, because we want to talk about those things, those attitudes, those sins that keep us from hearing correctly from God. And I think so often, Pastor Jim, people get saved and make that declaration, but it becomes more like fire insurance, as we call it around here.
Well,
not really a life change.
Right. I posted something on Facebook. I liked A.W. Tozer's page.
I like A.W. Tozer.
And they quote a lot on that page, oddly enough, from Charles Spurgeon.
Yes.
Two great, great men of God.
Right.
And the one thing, I can't remember it exactly, but it says, you know, being a Christian is not just going to the altar, it's living that life afterward.
That is it.
You know,
it's
living it daily.
And Amen.
That's a hard thing sometimes. It's very hard. But we have to do that, because otherwise it does just become fire insurance. And yes, it may well get you to heaven, but there's so much more if we just let God work.
Absolutely.
If we just let the Lord work in our lives, there's so much more.
Amen. And we can actually come alive on God's great dance floor. Woo! What a song to begin this show with today. Song by Chris Tomlin. Listen and you'll love it.
Your heart. Now I surrender. Take
That's our goal today. Come alive right now. Let God minister to you in this show.
I just wanted to say that, you know, we were playing that, and in view of what we talked about before that song,
mm-hmm.
sometimes I think, I'm so glad you played that, because it's like, we're all on, you know, if we know God, I love that song. It's such a metaphor. We're
it
all
is.
On God's great dance floor.
Yes, we are.
We might as well dance.
We might as well.
And
amen. Yeah.
With all the grieving, and I know that that's a process, but this is, that's the first time I felt really good.
Right.
Listening to that song is like,
yes. Yeah,
I just wanted to get up and dance because it helped me to celebrate. I mean, we need to remember God is still in control. Sometimes we think he dropped the ball or he turned his back or whatever. But I just read a couple of days ago, Psalm 121. He who watches Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps.
Right.
He doesn't take a nap. He doesn't take an all-night sleep.
Right.
He does not sleep. He's always watching over us.
Amen.
And we need to remember that God is always watching.
Amen.
He's always watching over us, no matter what happens around us. And I think I believe it was somebody on Joy FM was talking about, you know, we've got to keep our eyes on God now.
We have to.
There's no other way that we're going to survive, quite honestly, unless we do.
And don't you think a lot of times when we come face to face with hatred, bigotry, the results of all of that in our society and in our world that we live in, it's not just right here, we are, again, more aware of the sins of the heart, the sins of the spirit that so many struggle with, and sometimes those things come out in very awful, awful ways, like happened last week. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So often something tragic and terrible reminds us once again that human nature can turn on a dime and can be sweet, kind, and lovely 1 minute, and then this awful stuff comes out that we're going to talk about today in Colossians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles. But go ahead.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, and as I'm convinced we're getting close.
Yes,
if
sure.
If we're not already on the very edge of the tribulation, we're getting close to entering.
Sure.
And that's why the series that we're doing,
right,
on hearing from God is so important.
Yes.
Because
yes.
We have to be, in these last days, we have to be able to know who we're listening to and
amen.
Who we're hearing from. Make sure that it's the right voice so we go in the right direction.
That's right.
Or else, you know, what Jesus said, you know, false prophets will arrive.
Oh, amen.
And,
yes.
You know, deceiving, if it's possible, even the elect.
Right.
So, I mean, we're not immune from deception.
Right.
And that's why we have to stay grounded in the word, grounded in fellowship. And as I pointed out, this is so funny, audience. Pastor writes me and says, I think we're going to read something out of Colossians and Ephesians chapter 4. And the devotional, one of the devotionals I use, a devotional by Jermaine Copeland.
Right.
365 Spirit-Filled Prayer Days or something along those lines.
Sure.
The reading today was Ephesians 4. And
there
I
you
was,
go.
And I read that and I kept thinking, boy, this really fits in with what we've been talking about.
And then you got that email from me.
Then I got
me.
The email from Pastor and I emailed her back and said, guess what?
And that's how God does. He confirms what his rhema word, his word for the hour, is going to be. And in light of everything that's just happened in this last week, I think it's more important than ever to talk about God's desire for the way we behave, God's desire for our attitudes, our behavior, but especially our attitudes, because so often we can put on a pretty face and we can act a certain way. And even go to church and act like you've got, God all through you, and then hateful things happen,
right.
Which are not right. So we're going to go to Colossians 3, chapter 12.
No, verse 12.
Chapter 3, verse 12. Thank you very much. And that is correct. And before we do, dear Lord, we just thank you for this word that you are bringing forth on this show today. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing that always breaks the yoke. We thank you that chains are broken as we listen to your word, as we discuss your word, as we absorb it, and as we live it. And so we thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Let it come alive in every listener that listens live and around the world later on this show. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 12, Colossians 3. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm reading out of the, I don't know whether to call it the New Amplified, Revised Amplified.
Okay.
It's an Amplified I really, really like.
Okay. Bible. All right.
Verse 12, so as God's own chosen people who are holy, set apart, sanctified for his purpose, and well-beloved by God himself, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes with good temper.
Yes.
Bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other, if one has a cause for complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive.
Whoa.
That's 12 and 13.
In the Message Bible, it says, so chosen by God for this new life of love. And I think for a lot of people, they don't even realize that this life is supposed to be one of love, not one of constant berating of others, you know? Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. I kind of like that. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And we have got to get to that forgiveness point here in just a minute. We're going to talk about that we talked about last Wednesday night in our Bible study. But I think it's very interesting that as Paul writes this letter to the church at Colossae, he starts really talking about attitudes here, Pastor Jim. Put it on. You can do it. It's not unattainable to be compassionate and forgiving and kind. Yet there's a lot of people that they say, oh, well, that's just not me. I'm like my dad. I'm like, rah, 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 you know?
No, if you're born again, you're like Jesus.
There you go.
Or you should be. I mean, you know, he lives inside of you.
Yes.
And God does not ask the impossible of us. If we're born again, the Jesus Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us.
Yes.
These are all characteristics of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
All we have to do is just let it loose. I mean, they're, you know, you're just like your father. Okay, I would rather be more like my heavenly father than my earthly father.
Sure.
I mean, that's no put down on my earthly father, but Jesus is saying, be more like my father.
Amen. And when he says put on compassion, kindness, that's a choice. You know, we can behave like this. Or we can behave like we were talking at the top of the hour, hateful, belittling people, putting them down, condemning them to hell, all those things that we are hearing in the press right now. We have choices. We can be one or the other.
Right.
You know?
Right. And it's, you know, compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, patient.
Right.
Those are characteristics that God wants us to be. And I like it here. It says, who are holy. We're set apart.
Yes.
We're set apart to be compassionate. We
That's
are
right.
set apart to be kind, patient, loving, gentle. We're set apart to be that. Otherwise,
exactly.
We would be just like the world.
Right.
And who wants to come to know a Jesus that's just like the world?
Oh, absolutely. No. And, you know, Jesus was very strong as he walked this earth. I think we mentioned this last week, but it bears repeating. He walked the earth and he didn't mince words, you know, and he called it out. He called the religious leaders out for their hypocrisy.
Right.
He called them out for saying one thing and doing another, you know, for being full of hatred, full of condemnation for people, putting on a religious air. But on the inside, they were full of, as he called it, dead man's bones.
And all, yeah.
You know, that's pretty strong.
Whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones and all corruption.
That's pretty daggone strong.
Well, and, you know, there's that, I don't know where it came from. 1800s, people were all like romantic and wishy-washy gushy.
Yeah.
You know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Well, okay, did you ever read John chapter 2?
Oh, you're talking about old hymns that make it sound that way? Yeah.
Matthew 21.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus got, he was very bold in the things he said.
And that's, and, you know, this is not contradicting that at all.
Right.
I mean, you know, we'll talk about that maybe if we get to Ephesians.
Yeah.
But we can be that. We can be bold and still be compassionate. I mean, Jesus, if you read what he said, yeah, he used some pretty strong words and some pretty strong, well, they were just strong words, calling them whitewashed walls and hypocrites and such. But he was doing it to get them to see, to get them to change.
Get their attention.
Not just to put them down. It was to get their attention. It was to get them to change.
Right.
And I, you know, he was compassionate. If he didn't care, he wouldn't have said anything.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
My granddaughter and I were in a store yesterday afternoon, and we were just waiting to be waited on. And she started talking about some things she had seen on, you know, Facebook or wherever, and where there was such hatred and from ministers over this whole thing, and that we were talking about earlier at the top of the show. And she said, Jesus really had a hard time with people being even angry. I mean, he was like, you know, calling people out for their attitudes, even though maybe they didn't think they should be. You know, she was really calling it like she saw it. I was just like, whoa, okay. And that Jesus doesn't condone this kind of hatred is what she was saying. Jesus does not go along with this. Right. You know, she was really like, this upsets me, seeing this, you know?
Well, and, you know, the woman at the well.
Right.
Or the woman caught in adultery.
Right.
Yeah, they were sinners, obviously.
Right.
And Jesus just didn't sit there and, you know, and I'll be very blunt here. He didn't call the lady, woman caught in adultery, he didn't call her a slut or a whore or anything.
Right, no.
He just said, where are your, you know, after he said, let the one without sin throw the first stone. And they all her accusers walked away. And if I might add, they were hypocrites because where was the man?
Right.
I just read that in the Old Testament. It takes two to tango and both of them were to be stoned, not just the woman.
Right.
But he looked at her and he said, where are your accusers? And she said, they're all gone.
Yeah.
And he said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more.
Right. Yes. Have a heart change. Have a life change.
I mean, he could have called her names and said, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm so glad they almost stone you and all that stuff. But he didn't.
No.
And yeah, go and have a heart change. I like that. I mean, he did that with the woman at the well.
Right.
The Samaritan woman that had been married four times and was living with somebody. Again,
exactly.
That was a stonable offense.
Right.
He didn't call the apostles to start picking up rocks and throwing them at her.
Right.
He just said, you know, he said, first of all, he said, I'm the Messiah.
Exactly.
And I have living water. This is something you need. And she got it. And she went and told the whole town.
Exactly.
And, you know, he could have said, just stay right here. I'm going to have my 12 disciples. I'm going to have them pick up rocks.
And stone you.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it interesting that Paul takes this whole attitude of Jesus into all of his writings, and he's always talking about these concepts, about living a life of compassion and kindness and humility, you know, always.
And think of what a change that was for Paul.
Yes, he wasn't like that originally, was he?
He was there when Stephen got stoned, when they killed Stephen for blasphemy.
Right.
Or supposed blasphemy. And he held their robes, so their robes would not become ceremonially unclean. That's what that was all about. They right. laid, he watched over their robes, and he was in agreement. And then he went out and persecuted the church.
Yes. Until he had an encounter.
Until God smacked him down off that horse.
Exactly. And when he was, when he came to, I'm sure he wasn't like knocked out, but when he realized what had just happened, I mean, it was a life-changing, heart-changing event.
Exactly.
For Saul, who was later called Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. And it came to an event where he had been preaching hatred. He had been trying to kill Christians. He had been filled with all of that pride and look at me, I am a Jew and I was right. born into the right tribe of Benjamin and all of that stuff,
yeah,
right?
He says that all in Philippians.
Yeah,
he
so interesting. I like that.
He lays out all his credentials. I studied under Gamaliel. Yeah. I was a Pharisee
That's
of Pharisees.
That's right. Yeah.
He said, but you know what? I count it all loss.
Yes.
It's garbage to me.
Yes.
And how amazing.
Because
Jesus broke his ego, in a sense. And that's that humility part. I mean, it's just saying, it's being teachable. He could have said,
amen.
I don't care who you are. You know, keep me blind. I don't care. But he didn't. He had that change of heart.
Totally.
And, I mean, and in verse 13 about forgiving as Christ yes. forgave you.
We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Whoa.
Yes. As you were talking about that, it reminded me of Philippians 3, another one of Paul's writings, where he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, you know, and the fellowship of his sufferings, that, you know, that I may be so in tune with him, Jesus, that I understand what his nature really is, you know? And I love that, the way Paul wrote. And I love these verses. These have been some of my favorite verses for 30 years right here, because it sums up practical Christianity, if you ask me. Practical Christianity is not about, quote unquote, fire insurance. It's about heart change. It's mm-hmm. about life change. It's about attitude change. And if we can't do that, we're not ever going to hear correctly from God, Pastor Jim. We are going to think it's God and go off on our, like some of these pastors that have been ranting and raving. That didn't come from God. Those no. sermons that have been put on YouTube, that's not from God.
When we get to verses 14 and 15, 16 yes. and 17, we're going to see exactly why.
Exactly.
You know, that's such a good, good measure of it.
Right.
And, but yeah, I mean, I love it, you know, bearing graciously with one another.
Whoa.
You know, grace is like grease.
Okay.
I mean, duh.
Yeah.
Because it relieves the friction.
Yes, it
if
does.
If we are bearing graciously with
yes,
each other.
Yes.
Which we have to. We've listeners, you, and those of you that have been in church, y'all know what goes on in church.
Right. It's not pretty sometimes.
No, it's not. I mean, and that's not to say that's how it should be. That's just to say yeah. sometimes that's how it is.
Right.
But Paul says bear graciously with one another.
Right.
And I think historically speaking, this just popped into my head, these early churches were made up. I mean, most of our churches today, we've become homogenized.
Right.
We're pretty much the same. Oh, there may be different races or whatever in a church, but we're all pretty much the same.
Right.
And yet, the churches, when Paul was writing, you had everyone from Roman nobles all the way to slaves.
Right.
Mixing.
Yes.
And Paul said, okay, none of that
right.
makes a difference. You know, he says elsewhere, neither slave nor free, Greek, barbarian,
in other
Jew.
Words, quit being prejudiced.
Right.
And,
those
yes.
barriers are broken
right.
down.
Yes.
So react graciously to one another. Be nice to each other.
Exactly.
Okay? Because that's how Jesus was to you.
Totally.
We're to forgive because
He forgave.
He forgave us.
Right.
And we talked about that Wednesday night. I mean,
yes.
there's the scriptures about if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. And that's
absolutely.
that was a tough pill for some of our folks to swallow.
Well, and it's right on, and we're going to talk about that here when we talk about forgiveness. But I love the fact, one of my favorite verses, another one in the Bible, is John 1:14. The Word, meaning Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay? And I really believe that so often, so many problems happen in church. Number one, because people aren't full of Jesus. They're not full of that grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. You just talked about the importance of grace and cutting people slack and forgiveness, which we're going to talk about, and truth. And all the years that I've pastored, and you too, I'm sure, Pastor Jim, I've seen so many people with their own agenda. And a lot of times it's a power thing. It's wanting to be in more in control in some aspect of the church, or wanting to control the pastor with their tithes and offerings, or wanting, you know, it's a power thing. It's not a matter of grace. It's not a matter of goodness and truth. And a place where you should be able to think that people are telling you the truth has been my experience for years, that a lot of times when conflict arises, somebody's lying, you know? Somebody's not telling the truth, and or a situation has been distorted or out of sync or out of whack, you know, whatever. And then the very ones who should be the best at practicing forgiveness, which are people that are, you know, constant in the Word, going to church, being a part of the fellowship, and all of that, so often are the ones that bear the grudges so much worse than the people outside of the church. That's been my experience.
Right. Well, yeah.
Forgiveness.
I don't know what to add.
Well, forgiveness, like you said a minute ago, Jesus says over and over again, forgive so that you can be forgiven. You want your Father in heaven to forgive you, you've got to forgive. That's not, if you feel like forgiving, and if some of you have a pen and paper, I'll give you this definition one more time because I think it's one of the best around for forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean that you agree with the thing that happened. You don't have to agree. Let's say you were raped as a child, or let's say you were molested, or you were domestically abused by your husband, or whatever the case, or stolen from, whatever. Forgiveness does not mean that you have to come to a point where you say, that's great that that happened to me. Boy, I'm so glad I was raped. No. Forgiveness does not mean you agree with what was done. Forgiveness means that person doesn't owe you anymore. They can't make it right. Mm-hmm. You cancel the debt. And that's where I think the devil has a lot of people messed up, PJ. I think a lot of people think if they forgive, they have got to say, oh, that's okay. That happened to me.
And it's not going to be okay.
No, it's not. Especially on these atrocious things that people do.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it's never going to be okay that somebody abuses or hurts somebody else. That's never going to be okay.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to keep us in prison.
It's right. It does not.
Because it can.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole point is if I'm full of hatred and holding a grudge and bitterness, I'm in prison.
Right.
And we may not realize it, but we are.
Yes.
And yet when we forgive, then the bars disappear.
We're out
of prison. I want to make a point, too. You had said, I don't feel like forgiving, or forgiveness, like love, agape love, is not a gushy emotion. It's not emotional.
Right.
There may be emotion that goes with it.
Right.
But it's an act of your will. Forgiveness is an act of your will.
Right.
It's something you do, not something you feel.
Right.
You know, I feel like forgiving you. Okay, well then do it. You still have to do it.
Right.
And well, how do I do it? Well, I forgive you. I release you.
That's good. That's good. You know why? Because, PJ, so many people are waiting to forgive till they feel like it's okay, that the sting is gone, the pain of the situation is gone. That's what they wait on a lot of times. I've heard them in counseling. Oh, well, I just haven't gotten myself to the point yet that I can forgive. That's not it.
Exactly, because the longer you hold on to it, the longer the sting,
that's
the longer
right.
the hurt. is going to control you.
It will.
And,
it will.
You know,
it will.
And that, like we said on Wednesday, that's like a little thunderstorm, a fog in your head.
Yes.
That everything has to get filtered through.
Right.
You know, we grow up in dysfunctional families. Chances are, unless we do something about it, we're going to be dysfunctional.
Right.
So it takes an act of our will to make those changes, just like here.
Yeah.
It takes an act of your will to forgive.
Amen.
And,
it does.
You know, everything, you know, most of us, so many of us have grown up in dysfunctional families. So everything gets filtered through all that stuff.
That's right.
And that makes it difficult to hear God.
Right.
Because everything's going to be filtered through whatever experiences we've had. So forgiveness is a mighty way to push that aside, because if you were abused verbally by your father, let's say.
Right.
Being Father's Day, we'll pick on dads.
Right.
But let's say you were verbally abused by your father, or physically abused, or whatever. Your idea then of a Father God,
yes,
is going to be really warped.
I was just thinking that very concept when you said that.
Because you're going to picture,
right, yes,
so much about God, the Father.
Right.
It's going to be like your own dad.
Right.
And, you know, I'll be honest. I was that way for a long time because it was all works based. I mean, I believed I was saved. But I never felt like I measured up.
Right.
I had to do two things. Rearrange what I knew about God the Father.
Right.
And forgive my own father. Because
right.
That released me then,
yes,
to see God the Father the way he really is.
Oh.
Because, I mean, I could read about it all day in the Bible. And yet, in my mixed up little head, it was still coming out wrong.
We're going to talk more about that point right after this song, Only Jesus by Point of Grace. Good song.
A sister breaks a promise. A leader tells a lie. A wife tells her husband it only happened just one time. A man knows it wasn't innocent how he came upon his wealth. A preacher looks in the mirror, says, how can I? Never found. A family loses everything when their house burns down. An addict hits rock bottom. A couple calls it quits. A doctor tells his patient he's only got 3 months to live. What kind of water can soothe? What kind of world?
Love that song. This is real world stuff in that song. What kind of love can heal this kind of pain? It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus, and that's who we're talking about right here. Can teach us how to forgive when we don't know how to forgive, Pastor Jim. There may be some out there saying, well, I know that I need to let this go, but you don't know how bad this event was. You don't know how painful this was, or you don't know how bad it was that my husband cheated on me, or all kinds of myriads of excuses or examples that we could give, not excuses, but examples that we could give that cause people to be hurting this day. You know, and one you brought up right before we went to that song was so many people have had earthly fathers that were maybe mean and angry and hateful and disapproving, and it's hard for them to realize that God the Father is not any of that.
Right, right. Well, that's, the Father is forgiving, the Father is loving, God the Father, he chose us. You know, Paul says earlier in Ephesians, he chose us, and a quote from Amplified, actually picked us out for himself.
Woo!
You know, amazing.
Yes,
that God would do that.
Yes,
and that just shows the measure of his love.
Oh,
and yeah, I don't want to sound trite, but whatever has happened, God's bigger than that.
Exactly.
God is bigger than your hurt.
Exactly.
God is bigger than your pain. God is bigger than your scars.
That's right.
And he is the only one, like the song said, that can heal those hurts.
Oh, absolutely.
That can reverse those hurts.
Absolutely.
That can take away the scars.
I love the way the Message Bible says that one sentence here in Colossians 3, I think it's verse 14 or 13. About forgiveness. In the Message Bible, it says, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. As quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. Now, I know that we all want to be totally forgiven by God when we have really sinned, messed up, had bad attitudes, done something that was totally not pleasing to God, etc. We want forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Just like David, when he reminds me of Psalm 51 so much lately, when David had sinned with Bathsheba and God called his attention to it through the prophet Nathan. And then David was quick to repent.
Right.
He was quick to say, you're right. I did that. He owned it. I love that term in this day and age. You hear that term a lot. David owned the sin and did something about it. And I love this in Colossians 3. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. That's not partway forgiveness. That's right. Not like, okay, well, I'll forgive them if they don't ever do it again. Or I'll forgive them if they be very nice to me and da-da-da-da-da.
Right. Well, it'd be like God saying, okay, I'll forgive you if you do this, or I'll
right.
forgive you if you do that. And that's, there aren't those strings attached to it.
There's no penance.
And
there's
like
no
that.
Penance.
Right. Right. It's on faith.
It's on faith.
It's based on faith because of what Jesus' blood did for us.
We can't say a poem, a rosary, whatever. We can't say that to get forgiven. I mean, it is what Jesus did on the cross and whether or not we accept that. Now, we quote the word all the time, and that's a wonderful thing to do, but it's the act of, in our heart, the heart change. Back to that, PJ, it's back to that.
It's all in the heart. I mean,
it's all in the
either
heart.
Either you believe or you don't.
Yes.
And that was, like I said earlier, for me, that was tough because of my upbringing.
Right.
I never felt I measured up. I never felt I was one of those who would have made a really good medieval Catholic.
Okay.
Because I would have been one of those flagellants walking around smacking his back with a whip for my sins. I mean, that's just.
You were full of guilt.
I was full of guilt, and I did not, and yet when I finally got a grasp on grace.
Right.
Wow. What a release. I mean.
Changes you.
And, you know, it's scary for people. We've talked about this before. It's unmerited. It's unconditional.
Right.
And that scares people. It's like, I don't think I deserve it, therefore I have to do something to earn it. we cannot earn God's forgiveness.
We cannot.
We can never do that.
Right.
It's freely given. It has to be freely accepted.
Absolutely.
And you know, I like that as quickly and as completely. God doesn't wait to forgive, and neither should we.
No.
We'd save ourselves a whole lot of trouble if we were quick to forgive and complete to forgive. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to forget.
Right.
You know, we hear that phrase, forgive and forget. No, forgive, yeah, but we have memories.
Right.
And unless God sovereignly takes it out of your head,
right,
it's going to be there.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, that's one way the devil tries to trip us up. Well, remember 15 years ago when you did this.
Right.
Remember 5 days ago when you did this.
Right.
God doesn't, you know, God's still mad at you about it. Well, no, he's not. You can try and bring that up and throw that in my face if you want, but that's under the blood.
Amen.
I love that. It's on one of my Joyce Meyer albums. I'm under the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, yeah.
And that's such a great song because I need to remind myself of that still sometimes.
Yes.
I mean, I've not made it, audience. You may think I have, but I haven't. I'm not there yet. Working on it, but sometimes I just need to remind myself it's under the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And it can't be brought back up.
Exactly. It can't.
It can't be.
And when we are so beat down by the sins of our past or our present or whatever the case may be, and we are, you know, allowing the devil just to play havoc with our minds, which happens so often. And here in Colossians, it's saying that when we really forgive and allow the master to forgive us, and it goes on and says, regardless of what else you do, put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. And when we don't forgive ourselves, we're not loving ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus said, love one another, you know, as you love yourself, you know. And I think this is a big part of the problem with so many people, Pastor Jim, is that because they maybe hate themselves for things in their lives, then it's hard to release forgiveness to themselves because they can't do it. I mean, they just can't do it.
Right. And again, that makes that full circle thing about if I'm so guilty, I think, you know, God's just ready to smack me down.
Right.
Then I'm not going to be able to hear from God.
Exactly.
I'm not going to be able to receive instruction, whether that comes from the Word or from my pastor or whoever. Because I've got all this other stuff going on, so much guilt, I'm not worthy to hear the
right
word,
right know?
It's
trips us up.
It does. And I'm going to read verse 14 out of Amplified. It says, beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves in unselfish love.
Woo! Love
which
that.
Is the perfect bond of unity, for everything
yes.
is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others.
Oh, that's great. And isn't that what it's all about? When we are really wearing love and living in love and acting in love, then we have a desire to seek the best for others.
Right.
And it is best for your friend who has offended you for you to forgive them. It is best for you to forgive that person. It's best for everybody around you if you walk in forgiveness, because when you don't, it shows.
It creates so many issues.
It does. And you know, back to the point we were making Wednesday night, and we were really talking about the scriptures in Matthew 18 about forgiveness, and how if we don't forgive, and it says in Matthew 6 and the Lord's Prayer,
forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
That's exactly right. And then Jesus makes strong statements in the New Testament about if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
That's very strong language, which we were talking about Wednesday night. But it's the truth. If we are going to stay bound up in bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment and grudge holding, God's going to say, whoa, what's that? You know, he wants us to settle these issues with each other.
Absolutely.
We got to talk more about that in the second hour, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot more to talk about. Pastor Jim, just tell our audience, didn't realize how late it was here. Tell our audience about our prayer line, please, real quick.
Yeah, we have a prayer line at Beacon of Hope because we are a church that believes that God answers prayer. We are a church that believes that the power of unified prayer in the name of Jesus is the most powerful thing that you can do.
Right.
And so we have a prayer line. If you have a need, physical, spiritual, financial, material, whatever it is, you know, relationship needs, whatever it is, send your request to prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, Betty, who's also a member of the radio team, and Shell, are one of us will pick up your prayer request. We will send it out. We will also attach a prayer to it. So, like I said, so we can all be praying in unity about your need. And our prayer team will pray for your need because we believe that God answers prayer. And I always add when I'm on, when God answers your prayer, please let us know. I keep track of those praise reports. I think it's important that we know.
Amen. Amen.
We can go back and say, wait a minute, God answered this prayer.
Yes.
And God answers that. God has answered that. That's why on Wednesday nights we do prayer requests and praise reports. And we've seen many, you know, many, many answers to prayer.
Oh, we have all the time. We want you to use that prayer line. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely free. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. I mentioned our Thursday night show earlier. It is Go Yard, which means hit a home run in life, with me, my other name, Mama Mac, and Dr. Angel Valzoni. She's PhD, licensed mental health counselor. And we tackle a lot of life issues. This past Thursday night, we did a whole show on the aftermath of the tragedy in Orlando. And if you missed it, it's up on the podcast here at tantalk1340.com. Go to the Go Yard page on the podcast, and you can listen to it. At the end of each month, our webmaster puts all the shows from this one, Living the Good Life, and Go Yard on Thursday nights on our two websites. Those websites then contain those shows indefinitely. This is 400 and something show on this show. We're in our 10th year. So we have tons of shows for you to listen to on our website, which is www.bohmglobal.com. It stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So www.bohmglobal.com. Go there and listen to the shows. There's a lot of good stuff. And it's free. It's right there for you to use. So we encourage you to do that. If you want to listen to Go Yard shows, those are goyard2014.org is the website there. It's an O-R-G, not a .com. goyard2014.org. So you can just go there and find the shows and listen to them at your heart's content. And just know there's a lot there that's going to help you in your life and everything that you're going through. It is time for Station ID right now, and then we're coming back for our second hour of Living the Good Life.